Mark's Gospel 16. You know, we've come to the meeting of our lives where we know that we don't have and receive as much that God will want to give us this morning. And I just want to guide you on how meetings like this usually end up going. We go to Mark's Gospel 16. Look at verse 15. Now, Jesus said unto them, verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? And he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be baptized, or shall be condemned, rather. He says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. He says, in my name, they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with tongues, and they shall all take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So it's important to know that in Mark's narrative, he lets you see that there is something about laying hands on the sick and something happening. Right? So there's such a thing called laying hands on the sick and the sick recovering. Now, why is it that the sick can be laid hands on and they will receive the recovery? Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. So Paul will say in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, will be given to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance at the same time. Verse 19, we are going to say that what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards all who believe, according to the working of his mighty power when he wrought in Christ, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Yeah, and he set he at his own right hand in the heavens. Now, one of the things you must see there is that the exceeding greatness of God's power was demonstrated towards man. So man is the postcode, like I would usually say, or man is the vessel that carries and holds God's power. Because the exceeding greatness of God's power was demonstrated towards the man who believes. Now, Mark 16 now says, this sign shall follow them that believe. So, Paul lets you see that there is power demonstrated towards you who believes. Mark lets you see that for those of you who are believed, for those of us who are believed, this sign shall follow. One of the signs he mentions is that they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So, it means something can happen when a touch is in place. Are we together? It means something can happen. Now, Mark 16 is for every single believer that has believed. Once you believe, whether pastor, archbishop, whatever you call yourself, or whatever name they call you, right? You believe, so this sign shall follow. Now, if you've been listening to us for a couple of weeks now, we're talking about the local church. I would like to explain what the universal church and the local church is. And we're trying to explain how the universal church is for everyone who believes, right? Everyone who is full of power. However, the local church is the local gathering of saints within a local environment, or a local gathering of saints or people who have believed. Now, who is that who has believed? This sign shall follow them who believe. Mark 16. Ephesians 1, it says the powerful power of God's power was demonstrated towards us who believe. So it means that as we are seated here, we are people who are full of power. We have the power of God resident in us, right? We are full of power and can do a lot with the power that God has given us, right? Matthew 16, you see that Jesus will go to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and he'll ask his disciples, who the man said that I am? But they will say so many other things. But Peter will say, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And says, upon this rock I will build my church. We said the building of the church is the building of a called out people. Now, that means that's the building of those who believe. That means those who are what? Full of power. So you're full of power, right?
Yeah.
So every believer is full of power. Now, in the local gathering, in the universal gathering, right, there is something called God's method. There's something called God's wisdom. There's something called God's intelligence. And we're together. And God's wisdom and God's intelligence, you're still in Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Right, God's wisdom and God's intelligence lies in the bosom of men. That means no matter how flawed men are, No matter how flawed men are, men in the real sense will still be God's method on the earth. Right? So Ephesians 4 verse 7 now tells you, or verse 9, now he that ascended, or now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first in the lower part of the earth? He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and then might fill all things. And he gave certainly apostles, certainly prophets, certainly evangelists, and certainly pastors, which are teachers. That is for a good. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. Right? So, you know, in the garden of the local church, there is God's wisdom in place. Right? God has designed a structure, right? And it is his intelligence. And that intelligence and structure and wisdom will lie or wait or be found in the bosom of men. Right? So, like I said, right? No matter how mankind is flawed, God will still use man. Altogether. So by default, we are made deficient. By nature, we are made deficient. And we are made sufficient. That means there are things you will need in your life that God will put in another. That is why there's a need for a community. There are things that will be lacking, right? And another will have to balance it up or to fill it up or to bring it to perfection or to bring it to an establishment. So it means that you must recognize the fact that God's wisdom is in place when you think of man. When you think of mankind, you must understand that God's wisdom is in place. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, where you just read about apostles, pastors, and everything, these are what we call the ministry gifts or ministry offices. Whereby those who have believed, among those who have believed, there will be those who will be operating in certain offices for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry primarily. Right? So ministry gifts will be God's wisdom in the local assembly. That is God's wisdom. Did you get that? So the local assembly, the local church is God's wisdom. The ministry gift in the local assembly is God's wisdom. Yeah? So your pastor is God's wisdom for your life, right? Your elder, your leader, whatever name you call him, right, is God's wisdom, God's pastor, God's intelligence, rather, for your life, right? Another thing again you must understand is that when we come together, it is God's intelligence. When we gather together, it is God's wisdom. When we come together, it is God's wisdom. Right? You see, Jacob in Genesis 28 will have an encounter with God. And you say, I did not know that God was in this place. Bible says he picked the oil and he anointed the place. And he said, what? For this is Bethel. And we're together. So there's something about the place. There's something about our gathering. Our gatherings are not just normal gatherings or gatherings for fun fairs. Our gatherings are intentionally, deliberately orchestrated by God for your spiritual sanity, for your spiritual growth. Are we together? So at this point, we're going to be having an impartation service like you all know. And what is the reason for that? It is that there are certain things that God will put in the life of another for your sake. Right? Better way to put that is there are certain things that God will put in the life of your pastor for your sake. Right? So the grace of God upon my life and everything that God has made me to become is for your benefit. It is you to benefit from it. Right? It is you to be able to receive from it, you know, for the progress in the faith, you know, for the establishment of yourself in the faith. What Paul would say, for the perfecting of the saints. So your pastor is given to you so that you as a saint, you are perfected for the work of ministry, for the building up. That's what he calls the edifying of the body of Christ. Right? So what is it about laying on of hands? Now, there's a doctrine of laying on of hands and there's the practice of laying on of hands. Now, there's a teaching of it. And you see, our Christian faith is a knowledge-based faith. However, we cannot afford to restrict and limit everything about our Christian faith to what? The knowledge that we see or the knowledge that we have. What do I really mean? Your knowledge should not take you away from experiences. Your knowledge should not take you away from encounters. Right? We saw people in the writings of the scriptures having divine encounters with, you know, angels, with God, having divine encounters, you know, at different points of their lives, having visions. No, those things are not for teaching in what you call the new, right? What we call the new, right? It is, there are things that are experienced, and that's why you see, they didn't really end with the old. So Jesus did not come to give us knowledge explaining encounters. No, there are encounters and knowledge that come together with the Christian faith. What exactly is it about 3 days that Jesus will find himself in the grave? Right? That's an encounter, right? And after 3 days, you resurrect. That's an encounter. That beats logic, right? So you cannot afford to limit yourself to logic and logic and logic and logic and logic alone. Right? Because in the logic of God, there are certain encounters. In the logic of God, there are certain experiences that we are born to find, or to find ourselves experience. There are certain, atmospheres we find ourselves. Are we together? Bible in John chapter 18, verse 6, they came to look for Jesus. They were asking for Jesus. And they were asking, we're looking for Jesus. Jesus, who? Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And they didn't know they were talking to Jesus. And as Jesus just looked at them and responded, the Bible says in Matthew, in John 18, verse 6 and 7, Jesus says, I am he. And as soon as Jesus said, I am he, what happened? The Bible says that what? People around him, they fell back. That means they went back and fell back to the floor. Or they fell back to the ground. What is that? That's an atmosphere. You understand? That's an atmosphere. You see, we can hear about it, but we're not in that atmosphere. There were things that happened in that place. See, there are things that happen when we come together. There are things that happen when we come together. The needs of our hearts, the bodies of our hearts, are well ministered to us by God's power. I always tell you, when you come for meetings and God identifies you and says anything about you, it's a proof to show to you that God is intentional about you, that God cares about you, that God is deliberate about you, that God has you in mind. So what is it about the practice of, the laying of hands? Look at what Jesus did with laying of hands in Luke 13. Look at Luke 13 quickly. Luke 13. Look at Luke 13 quickly. Luke 13, verse 13. Bible says in Luke 13, verse 13. That what? Look at verse 12. Look at verse 11. It says, verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Right? And behold, there was a woman which had the spirit of infirmity for how many years? 18 years. And was bound together and could in no wise lift herself or lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. What did Jesus do in verse 13? He says, and he laid his hands on him, and immediately she was made straight and what? Glorified God. Now together, that's what happens when a thought happens. Look at Matthew's Gospel 19. Matthew's Gospel 19. So, just like Mark will say, lay hands on the sick, you recover. Jesus, an example, laid hands on the woman that has been bound for 18 years. And what happened? She recovered. Look at Matthew's Gospel 19, verse 13. It says, Then were they brought unto him little children, and that he should put his what? His hands on them. Let me tell you something. For them to have brought little children around him, for him to put his hands on them, it means they knew something happens when hands are put on people. Are we together? Right? If it was a casual narrative, there was no need bringing them to around Jesus. But they knew that something happened when hands are laid. So they brought the children to him. And pray, but disciples rebuked them. Then Jesus said unto them, suffer little children and forbid them not. That means allow them to come. Right? For such is the kingdom of heaven. What happens in verse 15? And he laid his hands on them and departed hence. He laid his hands on them. So it means the laying of hands communicates spiritual realities. The laying of hands communicates supernatural realities. Right? Contact can communicate supernatural realities. Yeah? Did you get that? Touch can communicate supernatural realities. There's a woman who had the issue of blood. You all call her the woman with the issue of blood as her surname, right? And what happens to her? She saw Jesus and said, if I can touch the what? The garment, the hem of his garment, I'll remain whole. That's a touch. That's a touch, right? So it means that things happen when touch happens. Things happen when touch happens, right? Things happen. If you look at 2 Kings, let me show you something in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 20, 2 Kings 13, verse 20. Look at what happens here. So when you read the experiences of the prophets and the writers of the scriptures or the Old Testament books, like we call them, the experiences they had, we don't relegate them because of knowledge. No, the experiences that we too can have, the encounters that we too can have. We'll look at Paul this morning. Paul had an encounter, and in his encounter, we see that Paul was for 3 days, not being able to see. That's an encounter. Do you understand? These are things that happen. So we don't just say it's in the writings of the prophets. They didn't know well. No, no, no. That's not true. That's not true. That's ignorant to say. Look at what happened to 2 Kings. Let me show you something in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. The Bible says that, and the man of God, and Elijah died. Elisha. So Elisha died. Who was Elisha? A prophet of the Lord. one who was endued with power. Are we together? Remember Ephesians 1. It says the exceeding greatness of his power was made towards you. So you know, James will now say we are like, look at James. Hold your hand in James. Hold your hand in James. Hold your hand in 2 Kings. Go to James quickly. Look at James. Go all the way to James and go all the way to 17. So this Elijah though, you know, it says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. Right? So it means that the experience or the prayer experience that Elijah had was acknowledged by James. Right? You see? And also the experiences of the prophets, they were acknowledged by, you know, the apostles. So you go back to 2 Kings chapter 13. He talks about Elisha here. He says, and Elisha died. Then they what? They buried him. 2 Kings chapter 13 verse 20. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the what? Yeah. Let's read 21 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. That's power. Are we together? When the dead bones of a man brings another dead man back to life, what does that let you see? You see, the power of God resident in a man is not dependent on how the man feels. It's not dependent on how the man looks. You know, the parts of the West, for instance, where I travel to a lot of times, right? And you go there and you see, you know, there's a man called Joseph Ayo Babalola, right? There was a man who, when God called him, right, he was driving a tractor. He was having his normal life. And what happened? And God called him, tractor stopped working, supernatural experience started occurring. And he saw a madman, and called the madman, and put him into a water, and bathed him in the water, and the man became healed right on the spot. I went together. And that place where that thing happened, Jacob said, the Lord was here, I knew it not. It's still a spot in the way people go to pray. When you see people have those kind of things, don't just say, they don't know revelation reality. What is revelation reality? What does that really mean? The deadline or the place where Joseph Abravela is buried to today is built with structure. And people go there and pray. People have gone there to pray, right? People go there with pictures of people that they want to believe for healing, and they go there pray and they receive their healing. Why can it happen to Elijah and Elisha not happen to us? It means the powerful power of God's power resides in a man. So if man is looking for power, the man needs to look for another man. Yeah. Bible says that Elisha was dead, he was buried, right? And they put a dead man. That means there are different types of dead men. Are we together? There is dead man that has power, and there is dead man that needs power. And they put a dead man that needs power in the sepulchre of the dead man that has power. And the dead man that has power, just the atmosphere, revived him back. And the Bible says he leaped up. That's God's power. Those experiences, you know, that the prophets had. And we cannot afford to relegate it to the back of the post. I'm saying, no, we now know better. Yes, we know better. Are we together? We know better. We know better. Say, I know better.
I know better.
We know better. But when we know better, we don't allow our knowing better to what? Make us logicalize everything. And we're together. You know, you go for a meeting, the pastor says, are you ready over there? Take it, right? And you're trying to step on, you know, you're always the one picking people. You know why? See, because your mind somewhere has already been programmed that you know better. Don't fall, or if you don't fall back to the ground, you've not experienced gospel. That's not the point. But people say there are people who, in the real sense, they fight it. They are fighting, because some people think that when people fall, for instance, what that implies is that there's a demonic power. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Right? It's this same knowledge that Peter had, and he will be going to pray. You know, see, the power of God in the life of a believer is not linked to the prayer of the believer. However, the prayer of the believer just makes him more aware of the power. Bible says that Peter and John were going to the temple to go and pray the hour of prayer. That means they had an hour of prayer. They were going to pray. They saw a man that was lame from bed. Are we together? Have you seen it? Bible says they lifted him up and he stood up and his legs were straight. That's supernatural power of God. You cannot logicalize it. See, the Christian faith, even though we use logic to explain it, it's not logical to believe. Have you seen Jesus before? Were you there when Jesus was killed? Why are you a Christian? It's his faith. The spiritual life of the believer is him that built around the world of faith. Are we together? You didn't see Jesus. You were not there when they flogged Jesus. You don't have a picture with Jesus. But you believe that he was once a man, died as a man, rose as a man, to give his power, the power of resurrection to another man. So you see, even God's wisdom in bringing salvation to man, he didn't have a man. There's a lot about man. It's a lot about man. So God's order in the local church is that man will be his method to communicate certain realities to you. Man will be God's method. Man will be the carrier of God's power, no matter how flawed man is. I was getting, I've had experiences of me not being fine, but getting straight sicknesses healed. Why? Why does that happen? It's because when I minister people, when I minister healing, I don't minister my sickness. I don't minister my ailment. I minister God's power. You see, that is why Elisha can be dead, and yet his dead body can minister God's power. Are we together? Man will be flawed. Man will be flawed. You will see men. You will start talking about Abraham, talking about Isaac, talking about Jacob, talking about Moses, talking about David. They had their flaws, but they were men who God used. Why? Because God's best method on the earth is man. That's why I always tell you, when the media is always talking about the flaws of man, man, we know that men are flawed. It's not an excuse for man to be behaving anyhow. But we know that men are flawed. But much more than projecting the flaws of man on you, it's not just a normal thing. It's to affect your heart. You don't now see God's power. How many men, for instance, have missed out on sicknesses because the man that wanted to pray for them was on the wheelchair? Are we together? How many men have left? They are still in the hospital bed today because a man who came to pray with them with God's power came into the room with a wheelchair. You see, God's method will never make sense to man. Yeah. It won't make sense. That's why it's called faith. Right? So today, you will have the consciousness of that which God is doing on the earth. Knowing that God does things through men. Look at Genesis 48. It didn't start today. At Genesis 48, verse 16. Genesis 48, verse 16. Genesis 48, verse 16. Look at that carefully. And the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the land, and let my name be named on them. You look at 17 for time. Now, when Joseph saw that his father laid his hand, his what?
Right.
Laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto what? Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his what? His head. Now, what is happening here? Jacob sees that his father is laying hands on his grandchildren, on his child, that's Joseph, rather. You know, if there was nothing about contact, there was no need to talk about you are laying hands on the wrong head or not wrong head. Are we together? If there was nothing about touch, if there was nothing about laying on head, there was no point to say, oh, daddy, you are laying hands on the wrong person. That means Joseph knew there was something about hands. Joseph knew there was something about contact. He knew it and he acknowledged it. He knew it and he acknowledged it. Look at Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Look at verse 18. Numbers 27, 18. Now see what God says unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands upon him. Lay your hands upon him. Who gave Moses that instruction? God gave him that instruction. Lay your hands upon him. Look at verse 23. And Moses laid his hands upon Joshua and gave him a charge. And the Lord commanded by the what? The hand of Moses. As the Lord commanded, rather, by the hand of Moses. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy is the last chapter of Deuteronomy before you go to the book of Joshua. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. It says, and Joshua, the son of who?
Nun.
Are you there? Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the what? Spirit of wisdom. For what? Moses had laid his hands upon him. So, did Moses lay hands on Joshua? Did something happen to Joshua? Are you there? Are you there? So, Moses laid hands on Joshua as instructed by the Lord, and what happened? And something happened to Joshua. Bible says that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom because four hands were laid on him. I was together. So things happen when hands are laid. It is God's intelligence, right? It is God's wisdom on the, the earth. So there are things you receive when hands are laid. Hallelujah. There are things you receive when hands are laid. There are things you receive when hands are laid. There are things you receive when hands are laid. You know, you can say things the way you want them when hands are laid. The woman said, I know that when I touch the hem of his garment, what will happen? I'll be made whole. She knew what she wanted and she said what she wanted. Guess what? She got what she wanted. Hallelujah. She knew what she wanted. She said what she wanted. Then she got what she wanted. Why? When there was a touch. Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 11. Romans 1 11. Paul, Romans 1:11. Just like Joseph knew, just like Moses knew and Joshua knew, just like the people of the writing of the scriptures knew, Paul also knew. Look at Romans 1:11. Look at Paul, Romans 1:11. Look at Paul. Look at the step. Look at the slide. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayer. What is this prayer? Making request. If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go.
For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be
blessed. Let's read together again. 1, 2, 3, go. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts to the end that ye may be established. Now, did Paul write letters to the Romans? This is a letter to the Romans. And in letter to the Romans, he tells them, I look forward to seeing you. Are we together? He says, I look forward to seeing you. Not just to see you, to snap a picture with you. Not seeing you to just, be in the same atmosphere and just eat together. No. He said, I look forward to seeing you. I may impart unto you what? Some spiritual gifts. To the end, that means the goal is that you may be what? Established. So today, hands will be laid on you. And the goal of that is that you may be established. You know, I've told you before. Yeah, there is nothing about my spiritual growth, nothing about my spiritual life, nothing about my flow of the things of the spirit, for instance, that cannot link back to a point where hands were laid on me. I was together. When hands are laid on me, what do? I take note of what is being said towards me. I write it down and I run with it. There are things that have been said to me years ago when hands were laid on me. I've started seeing them manifestation. And there are things that have been written down, they've been said to me, but I've not started seeing them. What do? I keep reminding myself. Look at where we are today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, good. Verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that ye might see your, that we might see your face. Is it the same thing Paul is saying? Yeah? Is it the same thing Paul is saying? Are you here? Yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. I was together that we might see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So it means that Paul wanted to see the people in Thessalonica to do what? To supply a sense of perfection. Paul wanted to see people in Rome to what? That they may be what? Established. Are we together? Right? So the laying on of hands is God's channel. It opens up faculties. So, for every improvement, like I'll tell you, when I get better in things of the spirit, right, a lot of times I link it back to what? The day where hands were laid on me and the practice thereafter. Hallelujah. The day where hands are laid on me and the practice thereafter. So, when pastor lays hands on you for instance, he says you have more boldness today, what do you do? You go out and you practice it. And you see that you have more boldness. When he says from today, your eyes of understanding has been enlightened, right? What happened? You give yourself to study more. But it says from today, you have accuracy in the word of knowledge. What happens from today, from that moment, you give yourself to the practice of it. Hallelujah. Right, Paul will say to the end that one, I will be established. So, what do you do as one who else wants to be laid on? There's an attitude you must have. Look at Acts 6. The laying of hands is consistent all through the book of Acts. Laying of hands is consistent all through the book of Acts. And the same piece, the whole multitude, right? What was the same, right? And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of Holy Ghost, and Philip, and you know, probably they were trying to choose people who will be or appoint over the businesses that were other than, you know, some other activity with the local assembly. So they said before the apostles in verse 6, when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. So hands were laid on Stephen in Acts 6. In Acts 7, Stephen was full of boldness. Guess what happened? Stephen was in the face of persecution, yet preaching the gospel. Altogether, he was in the face of persecution, yet preaching the gospel. They were stoning Stephen, and he was preaching the gospel. This was just after hands were laid on him. You see, it was in that gospel that Stephen was preaching that Paul first heard the message of the gospel. Altogether, look at Acts 8. Look at Acts 8, verse 14. Next two chapters. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. I've told you before, there's a difference between Decomai and Lambano. Right? So they had received means that the message of the gospel had been preached to them. And they said unto Peter and John, who when they had come down, right, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now if you look carefully, if you look at verse 14 again, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, they heard that Samaria had received the word of God. That means they believed the gospel. Right, they sent unto them Peter and who? John. Who, when they were come down, they prayed for them that may receive the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord. That means they were believers, but they were gifts of the Spirit that were not in operation. Acts 8. They were believers, but they were gifts of the Spirit not in operation. What happened in verse 17? Then they laid their hands on them, and they what? Received the Holy Ghost. So what happened? The gospel was preached to Samaria. They believed the gospel. When the elders in Jerusalem heard they had believed the gospel, what happened? They sent Peter and John. So what was the purpose of Peter and John going to Samaria? To go and lay hands for impartation. To go there and lay hands on them for impartation. For impartation. For impartation. Let me show you that something really happened. What did Simon say? Was Simon a believer?
Yeah,
Simon was a believer, right? So Simon was a believer. Bible says in verse 13, and Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. But look at verse 18. The same Simon saw that through laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. That means when Simon watched when Peter and John laid hands, they saw something was happening. This happened when hands are laid on. So Simon saw something. He said, how come Peter lays hand on this and I can see this? How come John lays hand on this and I can see this? That's Simon who just got born again. So Simon who just, that means what he was seeing was not something extraordinary or something spiritual or supernatural in the spiritual world, but was something extraordinary. The hands were laid and things were happening. The hands were laid and things were happening. What did Simon do? He says he wanted to offer them money. That means he wanted that kind of thing. That when you lay hands, something happens. So it means that someone can be born again and you lay hands on them and they speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening? Bible says the word they receive, that means the lambano, they receive the Holy Ghost. So it means that someone can be born again and wants to lay hands on them. You know, I've had experiences on the street, for instance, when I'll preach to someone and I don't have time to take you through Mark 16, take you through 1 Corinthians 14, and I just lay hands on your shoulder and what happens? Start speaking in tongues right on the open street. If it happened in scripture, it can happen today. So things happen when hands are laid. Let me now tell you something. Do you know that people who would have missed that meeting, it might take them weeks or if there was nothing about laying of hands, there was no need for the elders to say, we send you, go forth and lay hands on them. That's why meetings are important. They are places of encounters. Right? See, when God calls for a meeting and when God asks us to gather together, it's for a purpose, it's for your benefit. It's not so that God will be saying, oh, there are 20 people that are gathering. There are 50 people that are gathering. Wow, I can see more people gathering. No, it's for your benefit. See, there are things you miss from 5 minutes that might take 5 months to get back.
Yeah.
See, do you know what it will mean for a lot of times for Peter and John to have taught them the scriptures on tongue? Mind you, there was, you know, today, you got the 1 Corinthians 14. Today, you cannot go to 1 Corinthians 14, just say, you know, this is tongues, Paul taught tongues and interpretation as prophecy. It's easy today. But imagine what Peter would have had to teach from Genesis to Malachi. You would have to disciple them. So there are things that people get in 1 minute that might take another person 1 month to get. That means the wisdom of God also includes that time can be compressed. Time can be compressed. Time can be compressed. You're waiting for something to happen in another 2 years. And in 2 months it happens because time can be compressed. Bible says, God holds time in his hands. I was scared that he compressed things. I went together. God can see when I started operating in things of the spirit. Let me tell you something. I had not known a lot of the doctrine I knew. But I knew hands have been laid on me. I'd seen this in the pressure of my father's life, but I didn't know the doctrine. That's what I can tell you, there are some many, and I can tell you all the doctrine of it. But I didn't know it. But I was operating in it. Right? So today your eyes will see clearly, your ears will hear clearly, your mouth will speak boldly. You would have, God's power will be right functional in your body where you are. Amen. So how do you receive? You receive with a heart of honor, knowing that it is God's wisdom. You receive with a heart of honor, knowing that it is God's intelligence. Look at Acts 9, verse 15. Acts 9, 15. So God will tell, Jesus will tell Ananias, verse 13. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man who is evil. So what did God send Ananias to go and do with Paul? To Ananias. So Paul heard Stephen. Paul had an encounter. Then God sent Ananias to lay hands on Paul. Look at what happened in verse 17. Then Ananias went his way. He entered into the house and putting his hands on who? On Paul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee on the way, as thou comest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. And what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately what happened? There fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. But what was Paul doing before this? Go back to verse 8. And Saul, Acts 9, 8, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a set disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. He says, Behold, I am here. The Lord said, Go and meet Paul. If you look through go to verse 22. He says, Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So you see, when Acts 9:22 rather, right? So when Ananias laid hands on Paul, something happened to Paul. I was together. The eyes in which he could not see, he began to see. The boldness that he might not have had in the gospel, he had it. I was together. He had it. Look at Acts 13. Acts 13. Now they were in the church that were at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene. Look at verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord, and unto me who? Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, what happened? And laid their hands on them. Look at chapter 14, verse 22. 14, 22. Look at 14:22. It says, confirm the soul of the disciples and exhorting them to continue the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. If you go all the way to verse 19. Verse 1-6. Verse 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. I said to them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So Paul found some believers and he asked them, Have you received the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. Were these believers similar to believers in Samaria that had not been baptized? Yeah? Yeah? So look at what Paul says. Have you received the Holy Ghost? See, and he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized in verse 3? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were praying the name of the Lord. Look at verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So hands can be laid, and you speak in tongues and prophesy. Okay, so hands can be laid, and before hands were laid, you were only speaking in tongues. Then when hands were laid, you begin to prophesy. Hands can be laid, and you were speaking in tongues and prophesying. But when hands are laid, you begin to prophesy, and prophesy for long. You know, sometimes your utterances can just be, it is well, the Lord goes with you, it is well, the Lord goes with you, right? And you will go, and you will go, and you will go. Yeah, but hands have been laid on you, I'm not sure that you will go. You will be more fluent, you will have utterances clearly. You will have visions clearly. You know, in the Rekindle meeting, one of the meetings, one of those days we're having, you know, a brother had just come to church for the first time in 3 years, I think, I don't know, because someone invited him to church, and he came around. And when I was preaching to him, you know, very clearly I was seeing how he walked out of his house that morning. And I explained to him, I said, this is the color of your gate. I said, this is the gate you came out from. When you come out of the gate, this is what you have outside. You see, you can be that accurate in the spirit. You can get better. You can get better. See, you can start with, I see a gate in front of your house. Well, everybody will assume you have a gate in front of your house here in Nigeria. Right? But other than the gate in front of your house, you can say, I see a definite color of gate. You can be that. So hands can be laid on you. I told you, right? When hands were laid on me in this business, I always tell you, when hands are laid on me, I look for how to practice it. The next believer's meeting I got into, oh my goodness. The next believer's meeting I got into, oh my goodness, so clear. It was clearer. More utterances, more words said, more words of knowledge, clearly giving, accurately giving, accurately giving, accurately giving. Why? Because hands were laid on me. And I saw it as God's wisdom. I was together. I saw it as the fall. What happens when hands are laid? What happens when hands are laid? Things happen. Things happen. Things happen. Verse 1, please pray for me on the keyboard. Right? Things happen when hands are laid. Yeah? Joseph knew it. Joshua knew it. Moses knew it. And we're together. There's something that happens when there's a contact. There's something that happens when there's a contact. You see, when you want to receive of God's hand, you will receive of God's hand from God's mouth. Altogether, when God wants to lay his hands on you, he will lay his hands on you through a man. God will use a man. A man will be God's method. A man will be God's method. A man will be God's... Look at Peter. Peter was one who before the post-resurrection, you know, conversation, he was one who denied Jesus how many times? 3 times. That's a flaw. He denied Jesus 3 times. But what happens? After the resurrection, there was something about him. He says, such as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk. Right? Don't be looking for perfect men. Look for the perfect God in imperfect men. That is not an excuse to say that man should behave anyhow. No, that's not an excuse. No, there's a Bible teaching of conduct. There's solid conduct. Not much of that conduct. I can always tell you, you can't always determine who God will use for. That's why there's a big problem with you when everything about you, you want to cut people off. Now, let me say it this way. You know, Bishop, when people usually say it this way, you say, men will be one of the greatest problems on the earth. But men will be the greatest people as well that God will use for your life. Men. They will show you. But when men show you, it doesn't mean that when God wants to know what it is, that angel will be used. It's a man. It's another man. You know, a few weeks ago, I was just praying one day, and you know, I was just led to ask someone for his account number. I sent the money to him. You know, I didn't really need details of that, but you know, there's a point you will get to where you are very sure that the leading of the spirit is just there. Just obey it. Guess what? This is somebody who I didn't have his phone number. He just appeared in front of me, and I just picked up my phone, found him on Facebook, messaged him. I said, Pastor, please send your account numbers to me. He said, Pastor, guess what? And I just sent what was in my heart to send. Guess what? He told me his wife was sick. His wife was sick. They were rushing the wife to the hospital. He did not have one pill. He was rushing back to the hospital. And he was just saying, I know my God will supply all my needs. I know my God will supply all my needs. According to the group. He kept praying. He said, when he got into the car, he did not have the money. He got to the hospital, he did not have money. As soon as they removed the woman from the car and put her on the hospital, he just received my message. See, that's how God... Men! See, that money you needed, if I did not obey it, there's every time that person will not obey it. And unfortunately, there will not be sudden money in his account. Man will be God's method on the earth. Look at what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Paul wrote letters to Timothy twice. And in both of them, he reminded him that hands were laid on him. He says, verse 14, 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by how? By what? Prophecy. 1 Timothy 4:14. What is that? That means elders laid hands on Timothy. Paul reminded him. What did he say in verse 15? Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. You see, that's the conduct of a believer when hands are laid. You listen for what is being said and you jot down the things that are being said and you run with them. So I can tell you next day, I can tell you next week, I say, meditate on the words that were said. You know, you can trust you. There are some of you who, by word of knowledge, some people in the believers' meeting I went for identified you. And I'm going to minister to you with the things they said. There were some of you, right, who from the believers' meeting we had, they identified your names, identified information about you. Straight, clear cut, no mixing, no mising words. That's God's wisdom. God's wisdom. God's wisdom. We all might not be able to be in that meeting, right? But what has happened? I have gone there in honor to receive from God's hand. That benefit is for your benefit. That hand play is for your good. So today, you will what? You will open your heart in the heart of honor, right? To receive. Bible says that Jacob will wrestle with God. You say, I will not leave you unless you bless me. Right? What kind of wrestling is that? Well, that's not a physical wrestling, so to say, right? That if you look at how I've taught that before, but you know, what that really means is that he made up his mind to receive all. To receive all. To receive all. And you say to yourself that today, as hands are laid on me, my life gets better. As hands are laid on me, my ministry gets better. As hands are laid on me, I see clearly in the spirit. I hear clearly in the spirit. I experience yet more and more fine-tuning of the leading of the spirit. And I experience more, much more and more my disciples being established. My hands being established. I have boldness to preach what I ever before. To raise people and bring people up as God's will in God's kingdom. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. Paul now reminds Timothy of himself in 2nd letter. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I was together. So, this morning, you will receive of God's hand. You receive from God's method. You receive from God's wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know that song? When hands are laid, things happen. When hands are laid, needs are met. It's God's wisdom. Things happen. Look at 2 Timothy 2. Look at what it says in verse 1:6, sorry. It says, wherefore, look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in grandmother Lois, in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it is also in thee. Look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou shouldst stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So Paul laid hands on Timothy and Paul reminded him in a letter, remember I have laid hands on you. That means when God's hand touches you, your life changes. And when God's hand touches you, a man can say, I am the one who laid hands on you. But it's God truly who laid hands on you. It says, put in remembrance the hands were laid on you. Paul will say in Romans, it says, I long to see you. That my impact. So, receive. That's the honor to receive. To receive, to be open, to receive all God has for you. What do you do? Don't just look around, you stay praying. Don't just look around, you stay praying. You stay praying. Don't just look around, you stay praying. I'm going to minister to you 3x3 or 4x4. Let me do 3x3. Just somewhere around here. Right, and I'll just give you all the first three of you, you know, will come out. The leaders of the cell will be the last people I'll let.